Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Do we really want that? It's a question that I left IYC asking. Do I want this? It's a question I intend to ask our underground kids tomorrow or Wednesday night. Do you really want this new thing? All those testimonies that we heard and what it is God spoke, do we truly want this in our lives? Because that is the challenge. That is the challenge of this passage. Do we truly want the new thing? Because something that the kids learned at IYC, this new thing cost everything. It cost everything that we know and that we hold dear in this life. It cost so much because what we remember is there is no text without context. You don't get to the new thing without verse 18. That verse that says to not remember. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old, it says. To forget those things. Because behold, I'm going to do a new thing. I am doing a new thing, it says. And what is it that the author is writing about here? What is it Isaiah is getting at? The prophet, as he prophesies about how God is saying he's going to do this new thing, you need to forget those former things. When we look at the greater context of this message, we know exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about the Exodus. Because the people who he's writing this prophecy to, the people that God is speaking directly to through the prophet Isaiah, they're in exile. They're in Babylon. You see, the people of Israel, they weren't so faithful. They didn't necessarily want the things that God had in store for them. They wanted things their own way. They wanted things the way that they thought they should be. And they fell in that same old sin that we fall into each and every day, just like Adam and Eve fell to in the garden, believing that we can do it better than God, that we have this. And so God sends them into exile. He sends them into exile to correct them, to discipline them, the word teaches us. And here's the prophet speaking to the people who are in exile, saying, you know, forget those former things. Don't remember those things. And what he's talking about is the Exodus. Now, what's wrong with the Exodus? God liberating his people from Egypt. There's nothing wrong with the Exodus. But what the prophet is trying to communicate here is don't rely on that. Rely on God, and that God will still see you through this, and it's going to be in a way you would never expect it. It's going to be in a means you would have never understood or comprehended. But God is about to do a new thing. One commentator says it best, the original Exodus did not exhaust God's power, but provided a pattern of new Exodus-like deliverances. The Jewish exiles should not live in the past, but should look for God to bring them home from Babylon through another Exodus, a new kind of way, through a different kind of wilderness. Because God bringing the Israelites home from Babylon wasn't about just bringing the Israelites to Jerusalem. It was about something so much bigger and greater. Because do you know what else Isaiah talks about after this chapter, where he talks about how God's going to do this new thing? You flip a few chapters over, and we start hearing these things about a Messiah, a coming King of Kings. We start hearing these things about a suffering servant. If you turn to Isaiah 53, you can read all about it. This new thing that God was doing was Jesus. This new thing that God is still doing to this day is Jesus. And to accept that new thing, it costs us everything. It costs us everything. And if you don't believe me, think about what it means to come to know Jesus. Yes, it is the free gift of God. But when we come to know Jesus, what is it that we proclaim through our baptism? That we have died. The old us is buried. Our desires, our wants are buried. Our sins, are buried, as we rise again with Christ, as we come out forth from the waters, being born again into the newness of life that he came to bring. I don't think there's anyone that said it better than Paul in Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. We die with Christ. Those former things, remember them not. The safety nets you used to rely on for deliverance, forget them. God's done a new thing, and that new thing is Jesus. And God is recreating, restoring, and redeeming us, and he is forming us into this wonderful new thing, bringing us into the new, the newness and abundance of life that he promises that he would bring. And here's the thing. We don't have to wait for it. Isaiah 43:19 makes it clear. Behold, it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. Present tense, doing, active. He is doing it. He doesn't say, I'm going to do a new thing. And I did some digging in the Hebrew here, and it is in the present tense. He is doing it. Just like he was doing it then, he is doing it now. Just like he was pointing the Israelites to Jesus then, he is still pointing us to Jesus now. Jesus is the new thing. Jesus is the new thing that replaced the old thing. The old thing that left us dead in our sins so that we could have life in him. God is doing it, not going to do it. He is presently doing it and continuing to do it. The question, once again, that we have to ask is, do we want it? Do we want the new thing that God has for our lives? Knowing that means that it cost us everything we knew before to take hold of what could be. Knowing that it's taking hold of sometimes things that we don't even see or understand. But knowing that God is the one who's leading, and God is the one who's going to take us there, and he is going to get us there. He's going to empower us and strengthen us to bring us there. It requires that we let go of the death to take hold of the life. It requires us to take that blind leap. And one of the speakers at IYC talked about this. And he said he was at his youth teaching this lesson over this new thing God was doing. And he had a student make a prophetic drawing. He made a prophetic drawing of his message that was very parabolic in nature. And I got a picture of the drawing here, and the youth will be familiar with this. It's a picture of a desert and a river running through that desert. Because as the prophet says, you know, behold, you know, he's saying, God is going to do this new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The desert represents our life. Our life, it's hot, it's scorched, especially right now in the summer. But no, our life is parched. Our life is dying. We are all dead in our sin. And we're all hopelessly trying to find any kind of relief, any kind of refreshment, any way out of this desert. God's provided the way out. Even some have found the way out. But if you look at this picture, there are multiple different people in this picture. You have the man with the tie on the bluff up there. And if you notice, over to his right, there's a hole with a shovel. You can barely see the shovel. The image is on the back of your worship sheets as well. He's been trying to dig his way out. And the sad thing is, he sees the river. He knows the river is the way to life. He knows the river is there for him if he would just take it. But no, he's bound and determined to do it his own way. You guys can take the river if you want. I'm going to figure this out myself. And that is what he is doing up there. Then you have the guy in the chair. He's in the bottom right. The guy in the chair who's right there next to the river. You know, he's like, I see the way out, but you know, I'm good and I'm content right here. I'm content right here. How could someone ever get into that thing? It looks kind of dangerous if you ask me. It looks really dangerous. You know, have you ever been to a river that's dirty and murky? You know, it's like, you don't know what's in there. You don't know what you're going to get into. So you know what, I'm going to just sit here and I'm going to rest beside the river. While I see others float down to safety, I'm going to say that I've seen the river, but I'm not going to dare to even risk that. It's too risky. It's too dangerous. I'm going to stay right here in my chair. Then there's the woman lying in mourning on the side of the river. You see her just right underneath the guy at the tie. She is upset because the river wasn't what she wanted. It's too cold. Have you ever went swimming and, you know, this is what I do. Toe test. And then every time it never fails. Nope, not happening. I think about our last underground swim party. I did the toe test and I'm like, nope. And I'm like, I gotta swim. You know, I'm here as a leader. You know, I want to set a good example. I want to have fun with the kids. And I'm like, but toe test says no. You know what you got to do whenever the toe test says no? You just got to jump in. You got to jump in and just get it over with. Because I'll tell you, I'm glad I jumped in because, oh gosh, Cindy and Ray, your pool was so refreshing once I got in. And it was exactly what I needed. Exactly what I needed. But this lady has decided, no, it's too cold. It's too dark and murky. Who knows what's in there? I can't believe people would actually get in that and swim. Who do they think they are trying to have a good time swimming in that cold, cold water? You see, the river for her wasn't what she wanted. She wanted the river to be a particular way. But here's the thing, when it comes to Jesus' way, it's not about our way. It has nothing to do with our way. It is his way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he uses the word the for a reason. He doesn't say, I am a way, a truth, and a life. No, he says, I am the way, the truth, and life. His way is the only way out of the desert, whether we like it or not. And there's a large group of people. You can see them in the upper left. They've all decided, we're not going to find that river. And so they just decided, we're just going to hold on together as long as we can and die off one at a time. Even though we hear people have found the river, but you know what? We're really comfortable up here in our little group. We're not going to dare venture out into the desert. And then finally, you have the inner tubers. You always want to be the inner tubers when you go to the river, right? That just looks like a lot of fun. But more importantly, you have the inner tubers. They found the river. Even though the river wasn't what they expected it to be, even if it wasn't what they had hoped it to be, it was exactly what they needed it to be. And they put aside their wants, their desires, and they chose to jump in, even though it was freezing cold or too hot or too dirty. Even though they didn't necessarily know where it might lead, they knew they needed this river. And so they jumped in, and they just let the river take them in its flow. And while on the river, they constantly wave at others, telling them, come on, join us. Join us. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. But then you have the guy in the chair saying, you don't know where that thing's going to lead. You have the woman on the side crying her heart out because it's too cold. It's not what we need. But it really is. You have the people who are too far away to even see. And you have the guy that's still trying to get out his own way. We are all a person in this drawing. And this was a challenge they gave us at IYC to ask, who are you? Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Who are you? Do you want the new thing that God is doing through Jesus Christ? Do you want to be new again? Do you want to experience the life that Jesus comes to bring? Understanding that it costs us everything, but that's a cost worth paying. Because what Jesus brings, that river, is so much better than the desert around it. We can keep trying to dig our way out. We can keep trying to complain about how the river cuts and flows this way and not that way. Or we can choose to get in. To join Jesus in his life-saving work here on earth as it is in heaven until his returning to us once again. Life only comes by and with the river. And if you're here today and you're finding yourself in any other place but in that river, I ask, would today be the day you stop toe testing it and you just jump in? Would today be the day that you decide to allow God to birth forth the new thing that he is doing inside of you through Jesus Christ? Would today be the day you say yes to Jesus Christ? And this is the word of the Lord. The word given to us in San Antonio to bring back here to you. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite our worship team forward to lead us into a time of reflection and response over what it is the Word has brought us. Understand that God is doing this new thing. There's no doubt about it. God is doing it, period. Do we want to be a part of it?